The boogie monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
What you got on that sandwich? You got like a mayonnaise?
Dukes.
You got your beloved Dukes.
Remember we were talking about just simple recipes, three ingredients. I got salami, Dukes mayo, and really good Bakery Fresh sourdough bread. Oh, boy.
That's a salami sandwich? That's all you need, man. I wouldn't even mess with the cheese on that.
No, I don't.
You could if you wanted to, but it's unnecessary. For salami is such a showboat meat. Would you agree?
I agree.
It's a real look at me kind of cold cut. Sorry, I'm moving stuff.
Oh, man, it's just layers of flavor.
Layers of flavor. I'm situating here. Sorry. We did. Oh, we did very little bullshitting before. We're just like, hey, what are you doing? Let's record. Go for it. Kiss our asses. Hell yeah, man. Yeah. I love a good sandwich. I was telling you, I was making them fake meat. I was making big hoagies out of all the different fake meats. Not the same, but it was. It was something. I just hope that, because of eating it now, my estrogen levels are high enough that Bill Gates can microchip me. So I'm a little scared. I'm a little frightened.
I haven't been following that story too much. I know he's trying to microchip people.
It's not a story.
Yeah. Is it true? What does he want to do?
I was just thinking about this. Like, all the stuff we talk about for entertainment purposes it's fun. And now there's like a president that believes, like, no, it's not real. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
I looked at it all as like professional wrestling. I know it's not real, but boy, what a great fun thing to follow.
And yeah. Trump admitted today that he's actively taking hydroxychloroquine.
Good. Fucking die.
How hilarious would that be if this dumb fuck idiot killed himself by taking a unapproved medication?
He's got too many people around. You know what he's doing? He's probably doing that because one of his buddies has stock in it or something. There's him or one of his cronies for money to be made, and that's why he's openly stating. Like, now we have a president who does product placement at this point.
I think that's already came out. That came out a few weeks ago. It was some drug. I'm not positive that it's the hydroxychloroquine, but I think it might be. A story broke about 3 weeks ago that he has some sort of stake in that company. They made Jimmy Carter sell his damn peanut farm before he could take office. But now Trump is just doing product placement on shit that he has a stake in.
Honestly, whoever's like it. If Biden or some, for whatever turn, somebody else is president other than Trump, it's like you basically are jumping in trying to revive Blockbuster Video. Like, whatever you're coming in to save is fucking gone. I won't get upset about that stuff. I won't get upset. I stopped Twitter. I got off Twitter, more or less. I handed my password over to my management company.
Really?
Yeah, you're done. Through all this, I'd put out some jokes or I was always a bit of a bitch on there. And I did something, it wasn't a big thing, but it was like enough for me, where I was making a joke, like, as far as empty gestures go, I sure like military flyovers rather than my neighbors banging pots and pans. The joke being, they're both meaningless and planes are cooler. And, like, it wasn't even a lot of people be like, well, yeah, but the cost of those planes, I'd rather have pots and pans because taxpayer dollar. I'm like, does anybody know? Do you know I'm a comedian? Did you know that? Do you know that I do jokes? Do you know that I make jokes for things, for laughing? And I was just like, there's no reward anymore.
No.
There was no, there's the frustration and the amount of time I would waste thinking like, oh, here's a joke. Like, it's like, what's the point? And I think I gave him, I think that was last Thursday, maybe Thursday or Friday. I'm like, just take my password. I have not missed. I mean, it's only been a few days, but nothing. I missed nothing.
Can I have your followers? Can you just transfer your followers over to me?
There's no way. Yeah, 180,000 people, of which maybe 600 of them don't have me muted at this point. I'm sure they're all fake or non-active. Or it's just not a fun place. It's just not cool.
Yeah.
There's no joke to be made without some reply guy or some well-actually fucker. Well, the money it costs for shut the fuck up. It's a joke about how airplanes are cooler than pots and pans if you wanted to do fuck all to support people right now. That's all. The like button is there. You don't have to respond. You like it, you don't like it. You move along. It was a fun thing for a while, Twitter. Boy, it was a fun place for comedy. And it's a graveyard now.
Yeah.
So I'm like trying to streamline my frustrations.
I understand.
It's a silly thing to get mad about, you know?
Eh, got to pick your battles. What else been going on this week, buddy? Well, other than your 75-mile bike ride.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. That's like the Trump thing. I'm like, I won't even get upset about it. Like, I can't. Uh-huh. There's no, what good does it do me to be mad about it? Without taking action.
Yeah.
To be like, do you believe what Trump did? Yes. Yes, I did. He's a fucking bully, scumbag, idiot. Those are the three things he is.
He's a cartoon.
He's not smart. He's not an intelligent man. He's savvy in the way of being a business, a scumbag businessman to get what he wants.
Uh-huh.
To go skirt rules and go around. And he's a bully, but he's not. He's not smart. He's not looking out for anybody. Wasn't that Howard Stern's thing that like opened up? Like he's like Howard Stern like knew Trump, but he's like he hates his supporters. You really think a guy who lives in a gold plated fucking apartment?
Yeah.
In New York, thinks you fucking idiots.
He has zero
idiots.
In common. Yeah. Zero in common with his constituents.
But we don't. Nobody needs another anti-Trump opinion in this world. Yeah. I think it's pretty clear where we stand at, but the conspiracies in general, man, I went down, we watched, I got Rachel to watch, the Behind the Curve, the one about the flat earthers. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a good watch, not even about the flat earth thing, but just the way the scientists and the psychologists explain how people can wind up believing in these types of things. Because it's easy to sit back like, well, these people are fucking idiots. And like some of them, they're not idiots, but like a distrust of authority, an overall distrust of authority makes you take the opposite of whatever authority is going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not factual, it's like, well, I don't trust authority. So therefore, you know, these people are like, well, Bill Gates, we're going to listen to this guy talk about medicine. He's not a doctor. No, but he's 1,000 times more intelligent than you are. If he wanted to be a doctor, he would have been a doctor. Do you understand? Yeah. That's how intelligence works. He's not autistic, like, oh boy, he can remember license plates, but doesn't know his way home from the other side of the block. He's just smart. If he wanted to be a doctor, he could just be a doctor. He could just go to school now and be a doctor because he's smart. And then people, well, I'm not going to listen to him. He's not a deaf. Shut the fuck up, you fucking Walmart cart pushing dipshit. I'm not going to trust him, but I'll trust Alex Jones. See, why? Why am I mad, Dave? I got a drink.
I don't know, buddy.
I'm not going to be mad. You get mad about anything this week?
Huh.
You seem to be pretty laid back. I saw you Wednesday after... seemingly good idea at the time by Grand to Long Beach.
how long was that trip, round trip, and as far as down and back, minus the time you hung out here?
Time-wise, I think we took off about 11, and I think I got home at 7, so 8 hours.
Jeez.
And we stopped by and hung out with you, and then we got a Chipotle there over in downtown Long Beach.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, we were riding real slow on the way back. I felt like my one knee, I felt like all the muscles and tendons were trying to pop out. My ass hurt real bad.
That's impressive, dude.
It was, I won't lie, I was proud of myself.
I go on a 1 mile walk and I feel like I've done something. You biked 70 miles round trip.
Yeah, it was like 60 some and change, I think.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah, it was a big one, but not outside of riding through downtown L.A. and East L.A. It was just on a bike path. So it was a pretty nice, easy ride. Not big hills or anything. You're on a river path. So you're not contending with traffic too much. Yeah, but it was a lot of pedaling, buddy. Brought you a helmet, so now you can get the bike going.
Absolutely, man. I'm getting some work done on the bike. I'm going to get a new seat. I've already talked to the people. I've got a bike shop right across the street that's open now.
Oh, okay.
So that's good. So I'm going to get a new seat, and I got to get my tire. I got to get a pump. One of the tires is low.
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah, get a new seat and get that pumped up, and I'm ready to go, man. Here's a question as a avid cyclist as yourself. Do you wear earbuds or anything when you're riding? That seems dangerous. I see a lot of people wearing the headphones.
No, I don't. Not if I'm doing a mountain bike ride where I'm going up a fire road, which is basically the dirt road, I'll listen to a podcast on the way up. Going down, I don't. I used to, and it's just too sketchy, man. It's just, it's such a stupid way to get hurt. Like, I guess that's age and wisdom where you're like, you know, like you look back and like, oh, I got hurt because I was doing something dumb. And now you're like, well, that's a dumb thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get hurt if I do that. Like, I used to listen to music going down, but if you're looking in front of you, you don't know what's 30 feet ahead of you. So all of a sudden you look up, there's somebody on the trail that you didn't hear. I've almost hit people because they're hiking wearing headphones. I got a bell on my bike for going down trails. And they don't hear it, even though that's what it's there for. And I've almost just plowed people off the trails. As far as city riding, not at all. No
Dude,
way.
I you see so many people wearing. Man. Yeah, I see so many people wearing not even the earbuds, but the muffs, the Beats and stuff, the full on headphones.
Some
noise canceling.
You can't. You can't be in charge of anybody else. But I would not. I would not do that.
Yeah, that seems scary. I don't even like. Katie will go out on these long walks. Just walk. I don't like her. She's got a pair of Dre Beats and the actual headphones, not the earbuds. And, you know, and I don't make it a habit of telling her what to do, but I definitely make suggestions. And I don't like her just wearing those on a walk just because, A, you look like a target. You know, if there's sketchy people out here trying to rob people or whatever, you're going to pick the tall, goofy blonde girl who can't hear anything.
Yeah.
And B, you can't hear. You can't hear who's coming up behind you. I don't know. I think out on the streets, you need to use that hearing.
Yeah, I don't. Now with my experiences, I wouldn't do. I used to, but and I agree. Like the run, like if you're jogging, you want to listen to music. I get it. But walking around a city with headphones on at night or something, it's not. You got to live your life, but yeah, I think that's a sketchy idea. Rachel likes to wear earplugs at night, and I don't like wearing earplugs to go to sleep. I don't want to listen. Like, I don't want to like cut off one of my senses.
Yeah.
In case there's like noises in the apartment or what it is, like I'll hear stuff through the earplugs. I'll be more paranoid wearing earplugs.
Yeah.
And hear anything like, whoa, what was that? Cause I've cut off one of my senses. She shut down. I mask, earplug. She's comatose, so she locks it down. Mm. But I would advise against that. I would advise against that. Get yourself a quality rear light, quality brake light, little flashy brake light if you plan on doing anything.
All right, that's what I need.
I mean, a headlight's good too, so people making left turns coming out of somewhere can see you coming. But people just drive. You're riding with traffic and somebody being able to see you.
Yeah.
Lights, helmets, do the whole thing. We're old. Nobody's looking cool anymore. Lights, helmets, do the whole racket.
So they got lights that connect to your brake, just like a vehicle?
No. Just a little blinky red light so somebody knows you're on the road.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like when you apply the brake like in a car.
No. Just something that lets people know that there's a bike rider on the side of the road there. If depending on where you're going, you got those convenient blocked bike paths, which is what you need a headlight then because people walk out from that. But this ain't a bike safety podcast, Dave. I would say that watching the Behind the Curve again is very informative. If you're ever confused how this many people can be like anti-vax or whatever mass conspiracy we've moved along to this week. Just the scientific, like explaining like, well, here's several reasons of how not someone who's dumb, but of a personality type can lend to believing in this kind of utter bullshit. So anyway, that's what I did. And then I rode my bike to your house and then I got my big giant telescope in the mail Saturday.
Oh, okay. So okay.
I'm excited about that. And that is really just, you look at stars and then you look through the telescope. Still looks like a star. It's been a little bit too bright in the city right now for it. But once that moon comes out, baby, ho ho!
That's exciting.
That's my review is ho ho! Gonna see that moon crystal clear.
I might have to get me a telescope. That's fun.
Andy Sanford sent me on this journey.
Oh, yeah, he's big into it.
He had one. He showed me a picture of the moon he took through his telescope. I'm like, and I started looking at like, oh, this one's good and everything. Well, if you like that one, if you get this one, it's going to see even more. Well, if you get this one, and I literally just within 2 days, I'm like, what have I done? Goddamn Canon sitting in my garage. So, I don't know, man. Got off Twitter, eliminated that frustration from my life. I'll read the conspiracy Reddit, the subreddit on conspiracies, and that is such a glorious shit show. Oh man.
Anything exciting going on there this week?
It is just like I said, like the amount of people that are just no matter like all authority is incorrect all the time. Which as much as I'm question everything, it's not just because the government says it is means it isn't.
Yeah. No, I get that instinct. I get the knee-jerk reaction to not trust authority. But you can't end there. You've got to not trust them and then follow up with your own research.
Yeah. Well, some of the government is just scientists.
Mm-hmm.
There is some element of looking out for the physical well-being of its population. That does exist. This whole, like... Mm-hmm. Fucking take, and then like was Elon Musk things like take the red pill. That's what he said. I saw that. Elon Musk is all like take the red pill, and then the two Trump hobgoblins were like already did it, bro. Like Ivanka and whichever the one with all the teeth were like we did it already. And then the director from The Matrix, which is where that phrase is from, was just like fuck both you guys. I don't know, man. Like it went from being fun into being like, oh, people are like taking up arms over these ridiculous ideas.
Well, man, one thing I still cannot wrap my brain around talking about, I don't know if this falls under conspiracies, but the whole, everything we're dealing with right now, with the reopen America and the COVID and all that. I get all the questions and concerns and, hey, I need to go back to work. I get all that. One thing I just still cannot understand is the people that are blatantly and proudly refusing to wear a mask in public. Like, how does that infringe? What rights are being trampled upon? What's the risk in just throwing on a mask when you're in public? I'm not saying you got to wear it in your living room and sleep in it.
I mean, it's defying a law just because somebody said you had to do it.
Well, somebody said you had to do it because 90,000 fucking Americans have died so far because of this thing. And now, just not going to wear a mask, not going to tell me what to do. Really, that's the hill you're going to die on?
Yeah, you're infringing on my freedoms. But it's like somebody said, like the same people that feel the need to have a gun strapped to their belt in public out of the idea of safety, but you won't wear a mask because it's oppressive. Like, then what's your idea? That's Here's one that I want to find out and that people are bringing up, and maybe things changed today. I didn't follow it up today. It was in, was it in Ohio where the police, you know, had the wrong house, went in and opened fire and shot a woman? Killed a woman who was an EMT.
Louisville.
Oh, it was Louisville. Okay.
Killed a woman, no knock warrant, and the guy shot back, and now he's in jail.
Yeah, plain clothes, unmarked, no warrant, wrong house, killed the woman, the guy shot back, and they're holding him for attempted murder. He's a legal gun owner. I'm like, oh, NRA, you must be up in arms over this. And I don't know if they've made any kind of statement, but it's like, oh, yeah, oh, black guy, that was legal. As I've said, gentrify the NRA. Everybody get an NRA membership. Every marginalized group get an NRA membership. And eat it from the inside like termites in a rotten house.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that one's like, all right, where's the up in arms over that one?
Yeah.
Pro gun, pro 2A illegal gun owners. So again, maybe things have changed. Maybe they have issued it some other day. But I think yesterday when I was reading about it, I was like, well, that guy's in jail for like fucking ridiculous. That's the kind of shit that's like,
on
ooh,
that tip,
that
did you see
armed citizen
that shooting thing. That shooting in Georgia, that video that came out last week?
The two guys took them 2 months to arrest them.
Yeah. Black, I don't know if it's, I don't know what organization it is. It may not even be, but they're black gun owners. They're now patrolling that neighborhood. And that, I love that.
Somebody had sent me an old, I think because I was making that comment, and I don't know how old the College Humor video was. I hadn't seen it until a couple days ago, but it was like two like Southern guys, like, it's my right, as by the Constitution, to be able to carry a gun. And then like a militant black guy comes and is like, you're damn right, brothers and sisters, we need to take up arms. And then the two white guys are like, yeah. But that's the kind of shit you want to hear about. Is like, I did not realize until recently that it was Reagan and the Republicans who created, I think we were talking about this last week, the Reagan and the Republicans, when he was governor of California, created the gun restrictions in California because Black Panthers started being legally, like, carrying guns legally, patrolling their neighborhoods, like, well, we better put a stop to that. Like, it's a racist association.
Jeez, I mean, how more blatant can you be?
Yeah, so
people, that's like, right so up there the, with people white upset drinking about, fountains and black drinking fountains.
Yeah, but just like the idea of like, oh, California's got shitty gun laws. Yeah, why? Because of the side you agree with, because of your Republicans and your fucking champion, old Ronnie Reagan, because they're scared of black people having guns legally. That's going to be the scariest thing in the world, be a black guy with a legal weapon on your person.
Yeah.
And how that's
well, like I said last week. Imagine the protests going on at the Michigan State Capitol. Imagine if that was 300 black dudes with AR-15s.
Uh-huh. It's been said, yeah, many times I've seen on the internet, like, all right, armed black people take the streets. Let's see how things change real quick. Like you, like somebody else made that comment. Like, you want to see you know, assault rifles or, you know, AR-15s go away real quick? Let every black legal gun owner carry one in the streets. You'll see gun control real fast. That kind of stuff. Like there's an interesting conspiracy. Like, yeah, NRA, speak up. This affects your organization directly. Let's hear your opinion on it. Oh no. Gotta keep quiet on this one.
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
Anyway, I don't know, man. What's fun? What's fun anymore, Dave?
I've been having fun this week. I've been sitting out on my stoop in my chair.
I did not get a picture when I was down there, and I regret that.
I know. We forgot to do that.
Because you look like terrifying riot police with the bike helmet and the mask on. And the shaved head. Shorts. And the fully shaved head underneath the dough.
Been sitting out. Been doing a few hours every day, just sitting out, getting some vitamin D, watching the neighborhood, waving to people. And this week has been particularly active out on the streets because I don't know about LA, but here in Long Beach, this weekend was supposed to be the weekend of Gay Pride Parade.
Oh, and you're right up in Boys Town there.
Right here. And so they canceled that, obviously, due to the COVID. But they've been having unofficial parades. So all weekend, about every 2 hours or so, you just hear a convoy of cars and horns and people yelling. And then I'll look out there and, oh, there they are. And their cars are all painted up and got the gay flags and stuff. So I just been sitting out on the porch with my shaved head and my cargo shorts, looking like a white nationalist, just waving at all the gay folks and, you know, supporting their cause. So
dude, next year when that pops off and you got that spot, I might have to come down there for it, man. Gay Pride's just a party.
Yeah, it's quite a spectacle. I've witnessed a couple in Atlanta, and boy, they go big in Atlanta.
Oh yeah.
But right here in Long Beach, big gay community, and it was fun. I'm just out there. It's fun to wave at a parade. I really enjoy that. Just, hey, hello, how you doing?
Well, it harkens back to the way, like, oh, 4th of July parade or whatever, like, local town parade. But I don't go to any of those anymore, but be damned if a gay pride parade isn't the most fun you could have.
Yeah.
Getting shit, like, it's a parade for adults. That you get shit-faced. Bunch of dicks and butts hanging out. Fun. It's a good time.
Oh, and speaking of gay pride, I want to talk to you about fashion real quick.
Okay, Dave. Talk to me about fashion.
You know.
What questions do you have? What do you need to know from me, king of fashion, Kyle Kinane?
Well, I feel like here's the thing.
We're in double camo out there, right now.
I'm out there on my chair, on my stoop, enjoying the weather, enjoying the neighborhood. But sometimes I wear the cargo shorts, but then sometimes I wear the basketball shorts. Yeah. And I like to do the little prop up the not the traditional cross legs, but I like to prop one foot up on the other knee. I don't know what you would call that. You know, like you're doing a figure four leg lock.
No, I know what you're
and,
doing.
And sometimes I worry that you know I don't want the old nutbag hanging out.
So what are you wearing under these shorts, Dave?
Well, sometimes I wear my boxer briefs. Sometimes I got the other one. Sometimes they're a little loose, though. You know, they're old and weathered. And I'm aware and cognizant of, I have scrotal awareness, Kyle. You got to make sure that you keep your boys in the barn. And so I'm thinking about transitioning over to a not necessarily a sweatpants. I thought about getting some like track pants. Just so I don't have to worry about that at all. That way it's still comfortable, it's still lightweight and breathable, but I don't have to worry about people seeing my balls.
And, buddy, you live in a gay neighborhood. If your balls are hanging out, nobody cares.
That's true, but our neighbors have kids and stuff. I don't want to be the creepy old guy sitting on the porch where you can see his balls. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, no, don't be that.
So I thought about, you know, sweatpants, but then I thought, nah, let's get something cooler. Let's get some track pants. And then I thought, hey, I haven't left the house in 8 weeks. Let's really lean into this leisure wear. And I'm seriously considering purchasing an Adidas track suit. And I know that you have one of those.
I wanted to get
your review.
They're very warm.
They're very what? Oh, they're warm. Oh, see, I don't need that. I thought they'd be lightweight.
No, I didn't realize. Yeah, man, it's that polyester or nylon or whatever it is. But it's very warm. Stylish. It would look cool as hell kicking it on the porch. You look like the lost Beastie Boy.
Okay. What about this? What if I go Tony Soprano style? I'm back on the Sopranos, my yearly excursion through the entire series. Yeah. I could go Tony Soprano style, wear the track pants, and then get the wife beater. I know you're not supposed to say that anymore, but get the whatever you would call that, the white tank top.
Wife beater is offensive. They're called dagotees.
Dagotees. So I might start rocking that then. Get the Adidas track pants with the white tank top. Maybe get a couple gold necklaces.
I mean, you know what you can do is, like, instead of throwing down the money for the Adidas track pants, get yourself a pair of Target or Walmart ones to see if that's what you want to run, you know, before you commit to like the three stripes down the side. The ones I have, I thought it was going to be like an airplane outfit. Like, oh, I'd wear it. Because I got a couple pairs of like the loose track pant type thing. That I can't do them on it. Because, like, first off, the Adidas ones were nice because they got zippered pockets. The thing in the airport is I don't want to lose my wallet or my chapstick. So I got to have jeans or something. It stays put. But in those loose things, it's falling out the side if you sit down.
Yeah.
Super warm and too long. I guess I'm short for my waist size. I don't know what it is, but they're real long. They drag on the ground.
Yeah, me too.
I still have them, but I don't know. I guess I can go get them professionally tailored, you know, throw a few more bucks at them at this point. But they always
should be 9 feet tall for my waist.
I don't know why these pants. I guess because they're athletic pants, they assume you're an athlete if you put them on. But look at it. Most of the people that wear athletic wear are doing it because they sweat reading a sign. So I think they're just too warm, dude. They're super warm.
And I'm glad I asked.
I got an extra loose pair of them, like very thin ones, thinking those will be all right. It leaves nothing to the imagination.
Oh, you got your boys flopping around there.
Yeah, you are just bouncing around in there.
Mm-hmm.
Bouncing around, it looks like that Pink Floyd album cover with the face trying to come out. Is that the wall? Is that the wall? It looks like your dick's doing the Pink Floyd album cover. That's a rough one with those, is they're so thin. So that's an around the house only item. It's good for the winter time though, where instead of shorts, you want to have a full house pant. But yeah, man. So, like, go get a cheap pair and see if they fit your needs.
Okay.
You know what, though? You know what they got now, though? Is sweatpants, but it's got like a thick, like a 3-inch wide waistband. So it's not some skinny waistband cutting in you. It's a big, comfortable, luxurious waistband.
Okay.
I'll even say this. Dip into the women's wear. It doesn't, a lot of them, I've got a pair of ladies' Adidas sweatpants. They're just black. We wouldn't be able to tell the difference, except you know what? Yeah. They're short enough.
Okay.
They're not long and hanging down. They got pockets. They got that nice waistband.
I got to step up my game.
Yeah. It's the Harbor Freight rule. Go try the cheap version first. If you realize you're using it enough that you wear it out, then spend the money on the good version.
Okay.
That's what they say about Harbor Freight tools. You know, like, really? I need a power drill. Well, power drills could be $50 or they could be $300. Go to Harbor Freight, get the $50 one. If you break it because you're using it so much, it means you need the $300 one.
Okay.
If not, you got the thing around for when you need it.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
But for bike riding, I would advise not that loose of stuff.
Yeah, you want to keep everything together.
Yeah, you got too much fabric floating around, getting stuck, crumpling up on things. Get yourself a nice pair of tight shorts, buddy.
Yeah.
Jam your old Dave and Buster's down into some nice padded shorts. No shirt. Just let them have it. Give the world what the world wants, Dave. Give them a big old Dave burger.
I don't know if that's what anybody wants.
Give them a little booty short of Dave burger going up and down Broadway. Have your own gay pride parade every day. Yeah.
Oh, man. That is funny. Oh, did you hear? In the world of comedy, we lost two legends this week. That's a bummer. Jerry Stiller.
Jerry Stiller, Fred Willard.
And then yesterday, Fred Willard, man. Both those guys. Two of my favorites.
And not that he's a comedian, but as far as entertainment, Little Richard.
Oh, God. Yeah, Little Richard.
These were all old people, but I wonder if there's a thing where they're just looking around going, as party's over anyway. You know?
Imagine Little Richard, one of the godfathers of rock and roll. Like, arguably, in no particular order, you could say him, Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Chuck Berry, the architects of rock and roll. Imagine being a gay black man in Macon, Georgia, back in the 50s or whenever he was starting there. I mean, think of the obstacles that dude had to hurdle.
I feel that. I mean, I've been looking at clips of him. There's a good, real funny clip of him on the Arsenio Hall show that it's resurged. Resurged? Is that the word? Came back up.
I'm not sure.
It's resurged. If there's a resurgence, it means...
Resurgence, yeah.
Semantics. Okay. The man, it's like, you want to see where David Lee Roth came from? Look at Little Richard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, people that knew how to entertain, like, to do the whole show. People that knew how to do Prince. The whole show. Yeah, Prince. But little, oh, man, it's, I mean, these are all, you know, they were all old. None of it was particularly surprising, given the age. But it's, yeah, the pioneers of 60 years ago are all, you know, shipping off.
Fred Willard might have been one of the funniest human beings on the planet. Everything he was in, he crushed. He was so damn funny. You've seen Best in Show, I'm assuming.
I think I might need to watch that one again this week, just a little Fred Willard tribute.
That movie is so funny, but especially his role, just playing the announcer, the commentator of the dog show, just some of the stupid shit that he said, just so funny. And by all accounts, just a real sweetheart of a dude. Just a really, really nice guy.
And I like it. He got busted at the porno at the theater and was like, just funny. Yeah. He was just funny about it.
Yeah. That was what, about 10 years ago?
Yeah. I forget what his response, but he did the thing you're supposed to, just lean into it.
Yeah. Now, when you say, but I never knew the exact details of the story. It was a porno theater, so I guess
somebody just saw him go into it.
Oh, he didn't pull a Paul Rubens or anything?
No, I don't think he was whacking. I think he just went. Okay. You know, think about the generation where you just. But like, think about the point where you still don't know how the internet works well enough to just look at porn.
Yeah.
Or is it the thrill, or is it the companionship of being in a theater watching it that's what's exciting?
Like, I never understood that angle.
But there was a time that's when you could only watch porn. Go to a porno theater. Mm-hmm. I'd never been to a porno theater.
No, neither have I.
The idea of like sitting and like, all right, I'm going to watch this together. Like, I don't know about that.
But like you said, I mean, back in the day, what were your options? I mean, print, you could get a magazine and take it home. But other than that.
Yeah, or somebody got a dirty 8mm, you know, putting on a reel-to-reel film. You got to set up a whole projector. Imagine doing that just to beat off, setting up a whole projector. Having a whole AV club type situation. You got to find a blank wall. You got to then make sure nobody interrupts. Like, hey, you watching a movie in there? Like, leave me alone. Like, you got to have a whole, you know, film. You fall asleep when you're done. The thing's just flapping around a reel. it was like such a production. You had to be such a pioneer to masturbate to anything back in the day.
This joke's been made before, but with VHS. If you ever borrowed your buddy's VHS or you found your dad's stash or whatever, and you could always, wherever it left off, you could find right where where they finished up.
I forget.
No one's finishing and then continuing to watch the film.
I forget who I heard that from. Like, yeah, knowing exactly where your dad nutted. Like, oh man, I never wanted to envision it that way. Or just the stories of friends finding like hidden videotapes and like no picture, but hearing like, oh, I just heard mom and dad giggling on it. They're like, eject, eject. Do not let me encounter this.
Mm.
Yeah.
I got some weird. Go ahead.
No, let's be the boogie monster.
All right. We can boogie it up. I got this story that popped up a couple days ago that I thought you might find interesting. From my homeland of Georgia, the state, not the country.
Big Russian Dave. Hey, you know, with those track pants, you might look like Big Georgian Dave. Big Russian Dave.
That's true. South Georgia is being overrun with 4-foot-long lizards. There's a bunch of these Argentine black and white tegus. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. T-E-G-U-S, tegus. These 4-foot-long lizards. There's a bunch of them in South Georgia right now. And... in this rural area.
Is that like somebody was breeding them and they got out, or?
Yeah, they think, well, especially like being that close to Florida. Florida is a huge exotic animal state. All the weirdos down there get these.
I mean, we all watched Tiger King. We all saw it.
Yeah, exactly. They get all these lizards and snakes and whatnot, and then they grow to be too big and people just cut them free. But yeah, there's a whole herd of these 4-foot-long fucking lizards wandering around South Georgia. Could you imagine 4-foot-long lizard? That's a beast.
I mean, did you ever get gators all the way up into Georgia?
South Georgia. Yeah. South Georgia. You'd see some gators, you know, down there around, the Georgia, Florida line. I even hate saying that phrase.
It's hard for you to say that now.
Yeah.
I mean, like Because I thought that was a thing after Katrina, that a lot of, like, because Florida had everybody with exotic animals and they all got out during hurricanes. They're just...
Yeah.
It's like jaguars and stuff. But, yeah, I feel like that's a place where people are going to know how to handle it, at least. Like, Georgia's a place that they're going to see a 4-foot-long lizard and just be like, I ain't seen that kind before. Like, nobody's going to freak out, but they're going to be like, that's a new one.
Man, those Komodo dragons, you ever seen any video of those bastards? Those things are terrifying.
Oh, yeah, big and mean.
Dude, there's a great, I follow this great Instagram account called Nature's Gnarly.
Oh,
Gnarly
yeah.
Nature, something like that. Have you seen the Komodo dragon eating the monkey?
Fuck, man, I don't know if I need to.
Oh, boy, it's an experience.
There is one. Did we talk about this last week, about the pelican eating a pigeon?
Yes, I've seen that. That's gnarly.
Just bird on bird. And then it's the pigeons. Yeah, fighting it. Again, I'll make the Pink Floyd The Wall reference. Again, very similar. And then I saw one of a horse eating a baby chick.
Mm-hmm.
That was funny just because it was like two little chicks in a barn.
I don't think I've seen that one.
And a horse was just looking at him, just got one. It's a little chicken nugget.
Oh, no. Oh.
Just right down the hatch. Double horse.
We mentioned it earlier, just to stay on our official tracking here with the corona.
Yeah, come on.
We cracked 90,000 deaths in the United States today.
Number one, baby.
90,000. That's what I don't understand. Like, I get that people need to get back to work and we got the economy, but like, it's going. If we open too soon, it's just going to get worse.
Well, the idea of opening up now is trusting that people will take precautions. Okay,
I don't trust people.
Let's open these businesses, but wear a mask. And then you got people, I'm not wearing a mask. Well, you're fucking it up for everybody. You want it open? Do this one little thing. Smell your own rotten tooth breath for 30 minutes while you're at the store. Just do that much, and we can slowly find out if opening things up will be okay. Do you understand? Like, just, we are trying to open things up with some precautions.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly, let's give it a shot. And then, but also, like,
It's squeaky wheel gets the grease. We see a video of somebody not wearing a mask and being an asshole. And everybody looks at that video and uses that as a representation of such a, like, see, these jerks are out there. It's like, nah, one jerk per how many people that really want to do the right thing. So, like, again,
yeah,
to get upset about an internet video or something that, like, we see one small representation of people behaving badly or people behaving well, and we use it. Well, I got drunk. I didn't eat breakfast. I had a piece of bread. That's all I had today, Dave. A piece of bread, and I'm drinking whiskey.
Oh, man. You been eating anything good this week?
Nothing. I got weird on the Pizza Hut Saturday night.
What do you mean weird?
Oh, I got hella stoned and went for extra cheese, stuffed crust, buffalo sauce, tomato, mushroom, onion. Really How'd showed up. Out? Well, Rachel pointed out that it tastes more like a flatbread.
Okay. Which,
flatbread is like pizza's cousin from downstate who doesn't have much of a personality.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime a place like, we have flatbread, I'm like, oh, you mean you have a boring pizza?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not excited.
What is a flatbread? Is that just a pizza without the sauce?
Yeah, there's just not a lot of sauce on it. They couldn't. I think because I got extra cheese, it really overrode the. I went buffalo sauce. I was in a panic mode. I was stoned. I was like, stop, you know, going with the status quo and live a life adventure. I just gave up my Twitter password. Let's get buffalo sauce instead of pizza sauce. Except buffalo sauce is very thin. It's not thick like a marinara that's hanging out, making sure the food gets in your mouth okay. It's just kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Sliding around on there. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. Stuffed crust, though, baby.
I do like that stuffed crust.
That's white trash fortune cookie is what that is. Oh, what's inside the crust? More cheese? We didn't need that, but here we are. But it has been exciting, yeah.
Yeah.
You were making baked ziti when I was over there for your first night venturing in. Has Katie seen The Sopranos? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's right there with me. We watch it about once a year. So I'm probably on my 10th go-round. She's probably on her 3rd or 4th.
You've watched a whole TV series 10 times. What's the name? What's the probably. Name for Sopranos fans that like Trekkies? What are like? Are you the baked ziti's? Is that what it is?
The gabagools.
The gabagools is good. Like G-H-O-U-L. Gabagools. The gabagabagools.
And I struggle
The bafangools.
I struggle with the concept, and I get it seems dumb to watch a show over and over and over again. I've seen Sopranos, I'm on probably my 10th. I've seen Fargo season 1 and 2 probably about 5 or 6 times. But it's just...
Is there season 3?
Yeah, there's season 3. I've seen it twice. But there's just something comforting about watching a show you've already seen, as long as it's really, really good.
It's your It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. I love it so much. And I've got a... did I tell you this? I got a weird personal connection to The Sopranos. The band that I used to tour manage way back in the day, tour managed two different bands. We talked about Fozzy, Chris Jericho, the wrestler's band.
Yeah.
I was tour manager for them, but I was also tour manager. The nucleus of Fozzy was also in a band called Stuck Mojo, and they were one of the pioneers of like rap metal. And the vocals weren't necessarily my cup of tea, but the music part, it was pretty heavy. It was like Pantera, but with a rapper.
Yeah,
Which now sounds god awful, but man, you know, 20 years ago,
the 90s were a thing. There were a time in the world that happened. We can't deny it.
And in season one of The Sopranos,
Do you realize
season
the 90s? Like,
Sopranos.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the 90s, like before 9/11, before cell phones, before the internet. That was the 90s. That was the last decade before all these things, and we were there for it. That was like, we are 90s. Like, I was 13 going into the 90s. So 13 to 23. I had fucking fun in the 90s.
Yeah, me too.
And it was last, like, I did a road trip using a
a Franco-American, an Atlas we got from SpaghettiO Cans mailing a thing in. Mm-hmm. And I did a road trip based on that.
Nice.
Like stuff that would never happen nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
Not to sound old-timey, but it was like before cars showed up. Like, well, we took a horse all the way down to the river. You know, like that's... So I'm going to say, like, don't be apologetic about a rap rock band and a wrestler band that you tour managed in the 90s. So 90s were fucking rad in some sense, all right?
Oh, man.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt you about the Sopranos.
No, that's fine. I was just saying there's a couple of episodes in season one of The Sopranos when we see AJ's bedroom, the son. There's one episode where he gets in a fight at school and he gets his shirt ripped and he's in his bedroom and his mom comes in there and they're arguing about his ripped shirt. But two or three different times you can see a Stuck Mojo poster on AJ's wall. And I'm like, holy shit, that's weird. That's the band I used to tour manage. So that's my weird little connection to The Sopranos. That's not why I watched it 10 times.
How did they get that in there?
I don't know. You can tell if you look closely, a lot of the posters in his room and Meadow, the daughter's room, there's a lot of music posters, but they're not like music posters that you used to could buy at like Hot Topic or something. They're promotional posters. They're radio record label posters. And I'm assuming that a couple different record labels had deals.
Well, yeah. What distribution office? Yeah, that's like when High Fidelity came out because it was set in Chicago and they're in the record store and it was always like all the stickers like, oh, there's so-and-so's band. Oh, there's so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody get excited about seeing who they knew. I'm looking up when Sopranos was on. It premiered in 1999.
99? Yeah, 99.
Went until 2007. 07. Oh, shit, I didn't know that. I thought it was like started earlier.
Yeah, I remember the finale was like June, April, or May. It was spring of 07, the finale. And I remember because I was missing it because I was hosting a weekend for Greg Giraldo at a comedy club.
Oh, and, man.
That was right before, you know, not right before he died, but maybe he died shortly thereafter. But one of my first big weekends. One of my first big weekends at a club. The Funny Farm, where you and I met.
Oh, man, the go-kart track one?
The go-kart track one, yep. So hosted for Greg Giraldo on the night. And I remember thinking, I was like, I had such mixed emotions because I was a big fan of Giraldo.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, this is so rad, but damn it, I'm missing the Sopranos finale. But
knowing that that's where he was headlining. Like, you look back, like, Giraldo, like, these are legends of comedy. And it's like, yeah, that was a club that was a part attached to a go-kart track that I was at. I think it was probably like 2010 when I was there.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I remember just being sad because I was bombing all weekend. But we got free go-kart rides. So I just ride they were like the good go-karts, like the fast ones.
Yeah.
I was just sad doing it. I was drunk and sad driving go-karts. It was like such a weird joke. Like, this thing's only here to bring people happiness, and I was just so sad making all the turns.
Oh, well.
There was like UFOs and shit. Brazil had UFOs this week. Do we even talk about this anymore?
Brazil had some UFOs?
Brazil had some lights. Which, okay. I don't know, how much of that country is just poverty-stricken that they think anything is a UFO? I don't know.
There's a story I've been meaning to get to for a few weeks.
Let's talk, man.
A story I've been meaning to get to for a few weeks is there's a great video that popped up a couple of weeks ago. Some dude, speaking of telescopes, with his telescope captured what looks like UFOs entering and exiting the moon.
Well,
pretty rad.
Guess what? Guess who's on it now?
Let me find the actual YouTube video.
Fucking telescope works.
Okay, I'll spell this one out for you. But anybody wants to look up this video, it's the word OVNI, capital OVNI. I think this is from Montreal or something. OVNI, and then Sur, SUR. Then La Lune, OVNI Sur La Lune, 2020-03-26. I know that's a terrible way to title your YouTube video, but I'm sure there's other versions, but this is the one that I'm looking at that has 1.5 million views. But Ovi and I, Sir La Lune, L-U-N-E, that should be enough in your YouTube search to find it. But it's okay. A pretty impressive video. It's 1:10 long, and it sure does look like UFOs right around the moon. Like he zoomed in, you know, 1,000 times on his telescope there. And some people say this is a hoax, that, you know, that somebody's photoshopped or did, you know, some special effects or whatever. But it looks pretty damn legit.
UFOs leaving the moon, coming in and out of the moon. Mm-hmm. UFO garage.
Yeah, there's about 3 or 4, maybe 5 of them in this video, right near the surface of the moon.
Well, I'm going to get down.
I don't know what else they could be. I mean, they could be, you know, there's always some alternative explanation to what these things could be, but it looks pretty legit to me. So that's
I mean, I just, if they're UFOs, I still, like, they're real. I agree with that. I think we had some rascal teens, like in terms of who the aliens are, some rascal teens joyriding and baiting the Navy. And that's the stuff we came out with a couple weeks ago, where even the Pentagon's like, yeah, we don't know what these are. I think those were like, it's like the movie Explorers. You ever see Explorers?
I do. When I was younger, I remember that one.
River Phoenix, RIP. Mm-hmm. Who was the other? Ethan Hawke, I think.
I think so, yeah.
And then who was the third kid? It was the third kid.
I don't remember.
And then they met the aliens, and the aliens were actually just the teenage kids of the actual aliens. I think that's what's going on with what's out there.
Really?
But no, there was a people found them. There was a whole thing in Brazil. I'm looking it up now. I should have had this over Magé, M-A-G-E, apostrophe E. Magé, Brazil. According to Motherboard, which is the, as much as I hate referencing Vice, it's their tech subsidiary. It says, mysterious lights were seen by thousands of people. There's video evidence, and people are saying posts disappeared from social media. What happened? And this is this guy, MJ Benias, that reported on it. So anyway, so they think they saw something down there. People put a bunch of videos up, and then they were deleted. So I, again, like, now that the conspiracy theorist world is so blown up, you know, where they post it and they're obviously nothing real, so people are deleting them, like, this is fake. That's the problem with conspiracy theorists, is that no matter what happens, they're going to have a conspiracy theory about why it happened. Yeah, so you could have 100 conspiracy theorists that agree on a thing, and then 50 of them disagree, and the other 50 are like, well, you're part of the other conspiracy then. Like, you could just always, it's just a scapegoat for anything that doesn't line up with the reality you want. Like, why are these videos disappearing? Well, because the government wants to. It's like, nah, maybe they're just full of shit and they took them off. Anyway, that's why the conspiracy subreddit is wildly entertaining. Like, very few things have I read on there where I've been like, interesting take. It's it's always just like, oh my God, what? I'm truly curious about what your regular life is like, that this is where you can lean a shoulder into. Much like that Behind the Curve movie. Yeah, no, I'm glad they are too, but it's like the Behind the Curve movie, it's like, none of those people had like real world problems, or they were, or that's maybe they did, and that's how they were escaping. It was with this. I don't know. What do you want to? I mean, what are you? Have you had a change of heart on anything, Dave? Like, after going, like, we started this, what are we, 4 years in?
August 1st will be 4 years.
4 fucking years. A span of high school we've been doing this.
That's true.
Remember how long high school felt?
Man, it felt like 10 years.
Yeah. Has there been things? I think about that
sometimes.
Oh, I always think about high school.
But like, what a blip on the radar that is. But back then, it was your whole life.
But in 4 years, we started this before Trump being like, it was all fun. Mm-hmm. Ghosts and Bigfoot and stuff. And now it's like, now it's scary.
It is.
Like, again, like, I mean, the complaints I was having about people sending me goofy shit. Like, when people send me stuff like, this place is supposed to be haunted. All right, cool. I'll check out that video. The people think there's a monster over here. That's fun. We're all laughing around it around a campfire. But when you're like, the government is, this is definitely why you need to buy guns, because the government's coming to fucking microchip your brain. I'm like, come on, man. Like, there's, I don't need reasons for why you, like, I can get why you want to have guns. Even myself, who has been spoken out against guns before and slowly learned things and been like, yeah, I think I've also shot guns. They're pretty fun. I think I want one. But I'm looking at a fucking telescope. I don't know what to do with. Now what am I going to do with a gun? Mm-hmm. Shoot at the fucking moon. It is broad daylight and I am drunk.
Oh God. I was joking with Katie yesterday. We were talking about what are we on, week 8 or 9 or whatever of this thing. And I can't think of anybody whose daily routine has been less affected by this than me. You know, unless I'm traveling, unless I'm on the road touring, but like nothing's changed other than I can't go on the road. But like, you know, when you work from home or you don't have a 9-to-5, like what the hell's the difference?
I'm a little peeved. I can't go shred, but otherwise I'm feeling it. I feel great about it.
Oh man. How are you holding up? Do you think, what differences have you noticed in your day-to-day life from now, from 8 weeks ago?
None.
Yeah.
Fucking none. Other than, okay, outside of like, doing comedy, like, I'm doing Zoom shows and like here and there, mm-hmm. but it's on me that I'm not taking it seriously. It's not like, oh boy, I wrote some jokes. I really want to see how they work. I'm kind of just dicking around on them and just trying to be funny versus like, here's a bit. I want to see if it works. So going out to bars where there were shows, where I'd have drinks with friends, but also do a show and see if bits work. I miss that. I'm not keeping my craft sharp, but I think I'm staying loose mentally. Mm-hmm. Which is also a skill set that you need to have with comedy. Being like, oh, here's a new situation. Cool. Let's roll with it. Mm-hmm. Let's roll with it and let's be fun and let's be silly. Again, I'll preface everything with I was not paycheck to paycheck, so I'm not panicked in that sense. I did get a little nervous wondering what the landscape's going to be like. Even when things are lifted, will people be willing? I am starting to think that like things will level up. Like they're going to find a fucking vaccine for this shit.
You think
there's a global focus on it. I mean, the problem with HIV is like, oh, people always just, oh, it affects gay people. And there's like, so it was not taken seriously. Uh-huh. And again, talking out my ass, I don't think it was taken as seriously because like, oh, it's an ailment. It's a disease. It's an illness for people that are unsavory to the status quo and the, but somebody's wife, husband, partner is going to die from COVID that was previously like, we need to open up the government. Like, and they're going to be like, oh shit, we need to take this seriously. I'm sure it's already happening. I think
it's already happened. Yeah.
Yeah. A global focus will, I think, or I hope rather, have so many scientists trying to figure out a problem. I mean, look at all your disaster moves. Oh, a meteor heading towards the Earth. Everybody with any resource has to focus on fixing this thing first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think stand up, I think it'll return. I think we'll get back around to a familiar way of life. I don't know when, but I think so. I think we're slowly getting there now.
I think we're slowly like, yeah, all right, wear masks, do, you know, going shopping, going to stores.
I think I've asked you this before, but I forgot your answer. What's your next date on the books right now?
August 19th, I think.
August 19th. And that's in the South?
I think that's Texas. I mean, we'll see. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got to pay more. That's going to come up sooner than I realize. But I got some
July dates that I think I'm going to have to cancel soon.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Even this is something that's always in my mind. Even if things start to reopen and whatever, and they're already doing that, I know. But that doesn't mean that the virus has disappeared just because shit starts to reopen. So I just feel like July might be too soon. For me personally, like, A, I don't know if I want to travel and be around that many people. And B, I don't know if fans want to come out in July. And it's weird because I know people are just chomping at the bit to get back to normal. And as soon as I think people are going to want to go out and socialize and go to comedy shows and go to bars. But I don't know how many people are realistically going to do it that soon.
Yeah, I'm not worse. I'm not worth you risking your health over. And I don't want to do a show. Like, then you do a show too early, and who comes out? Like, I was talking to Shane the other day, Shane Torres, just about like being angry when you attract a certain type of fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd love to ask Joe Rogan, like, do you like your fan base? Like, do you like these people? Like, do you want to hang out with these people? Because, like, I get angry at him. Like, I got angry at the guy saying, like, well, Bill Gates wants you to eat fake meat because of what. I'm upset. Like, what did I do to bring you here? I'm angry. I want
yeah.
better. I want quality, not quantity.
Mm-hmm.
I want discerning individuals. So I feel like if I did a show too early, it would be empty because I would hope that it's discerning individuals that would want to come out. Not, yeah. I don't need a fucking mask to be at the store. Suck my dick. It's about freedom. My body, my choice. Like, if that's who I'm doing comedy and that's who likes me, I got to think about what kind of comedy I'm doing.
Yeah.
So if it's, I don't know, seated venue where it's like, all right, everybody stay in two seats apart, whatever the 6 feet is in August. Oh, shit, man, I don't know. I want to get back to work, but I don't want to do it at the detriment of anybody else. I don't want anybody else feeling like, well, we bought these tickets. Even at the end, like in Toronto, like this, like the numbers were like 4 sold out shows, but by the end it was like a half full. People bought the tickets, but they weren't showing up because of things. I'm like, that's totally understandable. I, as a performer, and that's the thing, don't get duped. People listen to this. Don't get duped by any performer saying, get over it. We can open up now. Because all that performer has to do is go from the hotel to the backstage to the stage to backstage and back to the hotel. They don't have to put themselves in harm's way. So don't listen to them if they're saying, you guys got to just get together and nut up and be okay with being in a group, because they aren't going to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. They just want your money. They don't give a shit if you're dumb enough to crowd into a theater. They don't have to be in the crowd.
That's true.
They're a dozen yards away being on stage in a theater. Mm-hmm. So don't believe them if they're saying, hey, get over it. We're all right. Because they're not putting themselves in harm's way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm.
What am I upset about? Making food. I got booze. I got food. I got weed. I'm a fucking loser with everything he wants. What am I supposed to be upset about? I can't, like, I think that the lopsidedness is like, how could anybody go broke? Like, it's ridiculous to go broke right now. That's offensive that a country would let people, like, oh, well, the economy. Then give the money to the people. Stop giving it to corporations.
Yeah.
Like somebody, like another internet, but somebody's like, Well, why do these corporations need billions of dollars? Why didn't you save up for a rainy day? The same advice you tell individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Jeff Bezos is going to be the next trillionaire.
That's insane.
That is insane. Part with the couple bucks for shipping if you can. Find the thing you want on Amazon and then look at whoever manufactures it or find a store or something nearby you to go get it or find just anybody else. Like, oh, I want, like right now, I'm trying to read more books. I want books. You know what? I'll either look for a used book and get it on eBay or go like, oh, Powell's Books in Portland is that cool book. Everybody's got a bookstore that you can order from and they'll mail it to you.
Mm-hmm. Do you realize how much a trillion is?
Yes.
It's a billion. You're a billionaire 1,000 times over. That's insane. That's almost hard to comprehend.
Like
1,000 billions.
You could just give away a little bit of that. And also, like, yeah, and like when you look at, like, all right, what's the taxation on it? Oh, yeah. Like nothing, close to nothing. Oh, I mean, again, we're wading into territory where we've read headlines and blips, but are not well researched. But man, who the fuck needs to be a trillionaire?
That's crazy.
Every poor person just defending tax brackets for the rich. We talked about that before. It's because everybody views mm-hmm. themselves as a billionaire who's just not there yet.
Yeah.
So they defend poor people defending billionaires. Oh my God, your head is so far up your ass.
Mm.
Anyway, what am I doing? Getting mad here?
That's all right, buddy. I got a comic of the week this week. A specific comic. I want to plug a show, a TV show that I've been watching. I talk about watching shows multiple times. I've seen this entire series. It's only 8 episodes, but I've seen it twice now. And it's our good buddy, Rory Scovel. Has a new show out called Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E, and it's really good. Of course, I'm biased because he's a pal, and I want to see my pal succeed. But it's really good. It's a damn good show. Originally supposed to be on Comedy Central. They aired the pilot last week, and now all the other episodes are on either the Comedy Central app, but it's also on YouTube. So if you just get on YouTube and search Robbie or Rory Scovel Robbie, whatever, there's 8 episodes. And it's damn good. It's a classic sitcom, single cam sitcom. Trying to think of the Reader's Digest premise. He's a church league basketball coach who 40 year old church league basketball coach who's trying to fulfill his dreams and get out of his father's shadow. And filmed and set in Georgia, my neck of the woods, and just so many jokes. And I was talking to him the other day, and I paid him this compliment, and I feel it's fairly accurate. It's one of the few shows that the dumbest guy in the room is going to laugh his ass off, but also the smartest person in the room is also going to laugh their ass off. Like, yeah. It's got a real broad appeal. It's super smart, but also super dumb at the same time. And I encourage everybody to check it out and support old Rory. just a damn good show. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't understand TV. And networks and all that. I don't know why they would pay to have a whole season shot and produced and then not air it, but you can find it on YouTube and their app.
They're a dying person grabbing at anything around is what TV networks are right now.
Exactly.
Sinking in quicksand and grabbing branches that slide out.
Super funny show. Bo Bridges plays his father. I'm trying to think who else is in it. This gal named Mary Holland plays his girlfriend. She's one of those girls that you've known her face. She's been in a ton of commercials and showed up in some movies and sitcoms, but she plays like his trashy redneck girlfriend. She's hilarious.
And it's Sasheer Sasheer Zamata.
That's who I was trying to think of. Sasheer Zamata? I never pronounce her name correctly.
I think it's Zamata.
SNL alum, girlfriend to our good buddy Kenny DeForest. But she's great in it. Rory's great in it. Everybody, all the characters are great, and just a real good show. And it's a real quick binge, being 8 episodes. And hopefully, you know, I don't know how any of that works over there, but hopefully, if they get enough views or whatever, he can make a second season. Because I personally would like to see it, just from a viewer's point of view. It's just something that Not a lot of great sitcoms. Not a lot of great comedy shows these days. There's a lot of them out there, but not many good ones.
I can't think of the last sitcom I watched. I mean, like, that's new. That's a good one. Outside of, like, maybe an Always Sunny or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We watched Click the other night.
Click with Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
Oof. I watched that back in the day. I remember it not being too bad. I remember being oddly surprised.
You know what? Rachel was sitting there going, it's supposed to be a great story. It was. It's dumb as shit.
Really? It doesn't hold up. I watched it when it came out, whenever that was.
Again, I got bad taste in things, but it was like the most. This is not a slight towards it. It was the most jerk your heart off type of movie.
Oh, one of those.
Like,
yeah.
Adam Sandler bad jokes. Like, I'm ready to be pissed. She cried at the end. Cause, like, I'll spoil it. I don't give a fuck. He's like going to die at the end. And he's like, oh, I paused. I skipped through parts of life that I shouldn't have. And it's all sad. Cause everybody's that he loves is around him while he's dying. And he's sorry for shit. Like, the most jerk off emotional, I bet you'll cry now part. And right as Rachel was crying at him, like, hey, do you remember the part where he paused his life so he could fart in David Hasselhoff's face? I would not stand for her being emotional at that point. You do not get to cry at this movie where he paused life to fart in Hasselhoff's face. And then we're going to forget that was part of the same thing we're watching. Unacceptable. That's what I said. Unacceptable to her. But we've been trying. Yeah, we've been trying to watch some stuff. You know what? I'm plugging shit for no reason because it's our show, Dave, and my family Zoom that I was supposed to do at 5 got postponed.
Okay.
And I'm drunk. So whatever, whatever, man. Mm-hmm. Been an old video game that I've been playing called Uncharted 4. It's basically like your Indiana Jones on an adventure. Very fun game I've been playing. Especially because video games seem to be dominated by multiplayer, online, modern warfare, everybody shooting at each other shit. This is just a fun story game where you're an adventurer looking for pirate treasure. Very cool game. If somebody is trying to play video games, and I'm playing it on PlayStation 4. If you're new to video games, you want something that to ease in, much like where I'm at with video games. I'm not good at them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to play multiplayer. I just want to suck at something by myself, which you could take that as a soundbite and add it inappropriately somewhere. But I just want to be shitty at a game. It's a fun adventure game. Then, Dave, I want to ask, what's the – say everything's lifted tomorrow. COVID solved. There's a cure. It's the first place you go tomorrow.
First place I go?
Yeah.
A restaurant. I miss eating out.
Which one?
First
elbow-to-elbow meal you're going to have.
I'd probably go to Park's Barbecue in Koreatown, get some Korean barbecue.
Korean barbecue. Okay, surprise. Mm-hmm. Thought you're going to go Holland Ray's. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Holland Ray's, but, I mean, it's an amazing food, but you don't go there for the full dining experience, you know?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're in line. You get your food, you leave.
Yeah, in line, you grab it. You go sit on a picnic table out there in the common area of that little Chinese mall. But, I'd love to just go sit down at a Korean barbecue place with the grill right there in front of us and 42 different little dishes of the little pickled vegetables and all that shit. Yeah, that'd be a good time.
Nice, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been craving some Korean barbecue. And that's something that you can't get. I think you technically can get it, you know, take out, whatever, but that's a cuisine that is best experienced in person at the restaurant.
Have you tried to do that at home, like cutting the real thin strips of meat and then get your grill going nice and hot?
Yeah.
Because people that don't know Korean barbecue, is that the one you're cooking it yourself, right?
Well, yeah, some of them do it that way, and then some of them at Parks in Koreatown, which, by the way, has won so many awards. It's, like, widely known as, like, one of the best Korean barbecue places in America. But they do it for you. They cook it right there for you. So they'll bring out the raw meat, explain to you what it is, then they'll throw it on the grill for you and come back in 2 minutes and flip it and then chop it up and serve it to you.
Yeah, people that don't know is you have a little tiny barbecue grill at your table. Mm-hmm. Each table has its own little grill, which that's what I thought was a bold. When I first went to Korean barbecue where you did it yourself, I was like, that is a bold choice, letting a town full of actors cook poultry to a consumable temperature. Like, your insurance must be ironclad.
That's probably why some of the places like Parks don't let you do that. I'm sure
Drunk as shit. Somebody gave me a plate of raw chicken, like, it's all yours. I'm like, I'll die tonight. All right.
Yeah. But that place is so good. They got this beef short rib that they marinate like for 3 days, and they got that. They got this the seafood pancake. They got this crazy fried rice, hot stone dish. So much shit. I can't even pronounce it, but just everything there is just so damn good.
I underestimated those savory pancakes, those savory Asian pancakes. I had one. It was just so like scallions and what have you in it. It wasn't seafood, but man, you forget. Pancake can go savory real easy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
We got candied jalapenos. I think I might try and toss those in some pancake batter around here.
Dude, speaking of jalapenos, you know what I had yesterday? Katie doesn't drink, but she loves playing mixologist. She used to be a bartender, so she's still got some of those skills left over. And every now and then she'll say, hey, let me make you some drinks. And she made me a spicy margarita yesterday with the jalapenos and the salted rim and the agave bullshit, whatever.
The good ones, man. it's like almost heartburn, but then it's not. You're like, well done.
Yeah. Yes. So good. Spicy margarita all day.
Shit, man. That might be my next drink. I got shit to do tonight.
Yeah, what do you get? You got the family Zoom got pushed back?
Well, family Zoom got bumped, and I thought I was going to like have like, you know, a conversation where you're talking, you're breathing in and out, so you get now I got to get to a show at 8 p.m. That's in 3.5 hours. Oh, Jesus Christ. I guess I'll eat a dinner. All right, buddy.
Well, all right, buddy. Anything to plug? Yeah, girl? Hey, girl?
We got Hey, Girl going on Friday night.
Hey,
nights.
Girl. Friday night.
Hey, Girl. Friday night's 5 p.m. Pacific. Me and Matt Brung are just being buddies.
Where do we got to go to see this?
If you go to holdthephone.tv, Jake Brown, he's producing, he's handling a lot of the stand up that is streaming right now.
Cool.
So you go there. I mean, I can't tell you which buttons to click to get you there, but you go there. You'll figure it out.
Holdthephone.tv.
If you're not smart enough to get there just from the name and a Google search, I don't want to help you.
Right on. And where are we at with public domain?
Shit, man. I think I got chapter 13 in the pipe right now. I might want to do one of those right now. I got some time to kill.
How many chapters is in that book?
I'm only halfway through this thing, dude. It sucks. It's like, I don't understand why anybody's listening. I don't understand why anybody's listening to this. If anything, it'll make for nice audio to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Have you thought about, are you going to do a second one when this is over?
Bro, I got to see how I feel. I've been doing this shit for like 3 months and I'm halfway through this goddamn book.
Should do like Huckleberry Finn.
As long as it's in the public domain, as long as I can't get sued for reading it, then I'll do it. I'm like, man, I'll do the Bible after this. That Bible's big. Ooh. You ever read the Bible, Dave? Ooh.
I've never read it all the way through. It was shoved down my throat as a child, but I'm fairly, I've retained a lot of that info.
Really?
But no, I've never just read it from cover to cover.
I feel like I should just as a whole. I'm reading Catcher in the Rye because I never read it. And I'm like, well, there's a time to like get through some classics. I also got The Road by Cormac McCarthy because everybody talks about what an impactful book about the apocalypse that is, or the end times. So that'll be next Catcher in the Rye? No, Kill a Mockingbird. I'm reading to Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, okay.
I read Catcher in the Rye years ago, and I hated it.
I'm reading, I'm halfway through Our Band Could Be Your Life. Great music book.
Is that a... Who is that, like, stories from different musicians?
Yeah, it's got about, I think, about 13 different bands, and it's it focuses on the American indie underground from 81 to 91.
Who's
so
in it?
I'm reading the Minutemen are in it, yeah. The Replacements, Black Flag, Fugazi, I think, is in there. But yeah, all those type of bands, those 80s underground bands. And you want, I'm reading the Minutemen right now.
Are you reading it on your big? Are you reading on your big lawn chair out front?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's where I'm doing.
On the porch.
Morning cup of coffee. Sit out on the balcony. Read a book.
Yeah, it's relaxing, man. I enjoy it. I'm such a fucking idiot when I do read. I'm like, why don't I do this more often? I enjoy reading, but
because you got other stuff to do in the day, so it's hard to focus on a book. Let's say I always tell, like, I'm like, oh, I read a book during the day. What am I, depressed? I should be watching TV. Like, if you watch TV, you don't feel like a loser. But if you read a book, you're like, there's so many other things I could be doing. I'm trying to reprogram my mind and being like, no, reading is enjoyment, not a chore. So many people look at reading as like a task instead of a thing that brings you pleasure. At least I would think between me and you, we view it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So why should we? Let's read books. We have fun.
Oh, boy. Right on, buddy.
We covered the gamut of everything that's nothing that this podcast is about.
Exactly.
You know there's UFOs on the moon. Into. Fuck that, man. You ever put mustard on corn? All right.
Oh, boy. I'll plug my other podcast real quick, The Stonebergs. Every Monday, we dropped one today, as you're listening to this, yesterday. But, yeah, that's going well. Having a lot of fun. People calling in, asking us all kind of stupid questions. And we didn't answer any questions this week because we got my diplomatic description of this episode is Katie reflects on the joys of sisterhood. And I'll let you figure out what we're riffing about on that one. Yeah. Yeah, our old friend Barbara. So, yeah.
More incidents with Barbara happening?
Yeah, just kind of a comprehensive
How's Barbara holding up? How's Barbara holding up through all this?
She just checked herself into rehab, so I'm not going to mock that as much
That's a good thing,
as
man.
As much disdain as I have for her, more power to you. Good luck.
Maybe old step seven that most of us only learned about through Seinfeld is coming for y'all.
Yeah. What, the amends? Yeah, is that step seven?
Yeah. It's the only time I learned about, like, oh, that's a part of thing.
Mm-hmm. But,
think about how progressive Seinfeld was that they were making fun of one of the steps of rehab.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that show, they covered so much interesting ground for their time. I mean, the fact that they had a whole episode about masturbation and they never even said the word, you know, just the way they danced around things. It was hilarious. Mean, no, the whole episode there was one episode about how Elaine's boyfriend wouldn't go down on her. I mean, this is Thursday night primetime NBC stuff,
but
they were so clever with it.
Do you understand that we're 43 and there is someone who's 23 who looks at Seinfeld the same way we look at MASH?
I was just about to say MASH. That was my example of sitcoms before my time.
As soon as I heard the MASH theme song played, I knew for myself that I was up too late and it was time to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, true.
It's a doo-doo-doo-doo. I'm like, there's that was an indicator. That was better than like the emergency test broadcast to let me know there's nothing left on television is when the MASH theme song played. And you know, there's people in their 20s that don't think Seinfeld's funny, and we cannot be mad at them for that.
No, yeah, I get it. I see how it could be a generational thing.
All our heroes, are dying weekly, and the things we like are old and not understood by people half our age. And that's you won't be the old man of like, well, when I was your, as I just ranted about how the 90s were fucking great. Add Seinfeld to why. But don't discredit somebody in their 20s going, hey, this thing's really funny and you should like it. And we got hung up. We got disconnected.
You can still hear me, Dave. I'm calling you because you will edit this later. Not speaker. There it is.
Sorry about that, buddy.
There it is. I made sure I knew that I was still being recorded, so I kept talking. I kept being entertaining through the whole thing. But yeah, so that anyway, I'm sorry. I kept cutting you off to proselytize about how we cannot discredit the youth.
That's true. I've been laughing all week at one of my favorite Seinfeld quotes was from Jerry Stiller when he's just sitting at a restaurant with George and his wife and just apropos of nothing. And George is bored out of his mind and apropos of nothing. He goes, "Would you believe when I was 18 years old, I had a silver dollar collection?" George is just like, "Oh God." And then he does like a coin trick, like the disappearing coin behind his ear or whatever. And a silver dollar collection. It's fascinating, Dan.
God,
he was so funny.
If you want to see a weird take where him and Ben Stiller just play enemies, and for some reason the movie that I liked of the John Cusack 80s collection that wasn't silly was a movie called Hot Pursuit.
I haven't seen that. Jerry Stiller. Yeah, you've mentioned that before. And Jerry.
Very few people know that movie. It's an adventure movie. It's got you know, Cusack trying to be the, you know, he was the 80s star and he was funny and stuff. And this was like an adventure tale. You've got John Cusack, college student chasing his gal while she goes on a Caribbean vacation. You've got Keith David as the Caribbean tour guide. You've got Ben and Jerry Stiller as the villains of it. Not campy, just villains.
Mm-hmm.
We got free time. Check it out. Hot Pursuit. 88, maybe?
Okay. Yeah, I will check that out.
Piss away 2 hours on a Kyle Kinane suggestion.
Sounds good.
The Kinane Criterion Collection. You will regret it.
All right, man. You go do your adorable family Zoom. Tell Pat and Deb and Teague and I said hello.
Old P&D. All right, buddy. Well,
try to keep your spirits up.
How far in The Sopranos are you?
Oh, boy. We've been mowing through it. I'm at the beginning of season 6.
God damn, it's been like 5 days.
No, it hadn't been that long. We've been at it for a couple of weeks now.
Oh, I thought you were just starting it last Wednesday.
No. We didn't just start it last Wednesday. No, we've been at it probably 2 weeks. We've mowed through.
I'm like, this bitch watching a season a day? Move your legs a little, man. You're going
to
atrophy.
No, I watch. Well, because I'm trying to watch it with Katie. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, even though we don't leave the house, it's still our schedules don't link up to where we can watch, you know, 7-8 episodes a day. So I'm probably knocking out 2 or 3 episodes a day at night.
That's a hearty pace.
I'm mowing through it.
That's a hearty pace.
It's so much fun. And I always crave Italian food this time of year when I watch Sopranos. So that's why I made that baked ziti last week.
But, you changing up? You going moving outside of pasta for other type of Italian food?
Baked ziti is the only thing I've really made. Oh, I made a cacao di pepe last week.
Oh, cacio di pepe. Yes.
Yeah, cacio. Yeah, I can never pronounce it. But I made that.
Two C's together, generally a CH. Let me tell you how to pronounce things when I can't get generally out of my mouth.
No, I haven't veered outside of the traditional red sauce stuff, but maybe I'll get fancy and do something weird. I don't know.
Fish dish. Maybe a nice Southern Italian item or Northern. I don't know where food's from. They do a lot with seafood. Anchovies even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I put a little anchovies in my marinara sauce for the baked ziti. Give it a little depth of flavor. Oh, boy. Good times. Well, I'm getting hungry. I'm going to go
all
eat
right,
another
buddy.
Salami sandwich.
I'll cut you loose. I'm yammering here.
Anybody needs a cookbook, holler at me. Still selling those cookbooks. So
you should have a Sopranos-themed cookbook.
I've thought about doing
each season you have a dish.
Oh, Ooh, yeah, something that they feature in. By the way, there's somebody edited together a whole YouTube thing. I think it's like an hour or two, but it's all the food scenes from the entire series of Sopranos. So it's like 2 hours, and it's all out of context. Like, it doesn't make sense, but it's just all these scenes of them eating and talking about Italian food. Oh, dude, I've seen that a couple times.
We were watching 90 Day Fiancé last night, and I want to do an interview series with the people that have to make the food for reality shows because they never eat the food.
Huh.
Like, every time we watch The Bachelor, there's like this nice meal in front of them. They never eat. And I'm like, somebody's backstage still making sure the food looks good.
Yeah.
And then the food never gets touched. And it frustrates me. I'm like, you're getting dumped. At least have some steak. You're having the worst night of your life. Have some mashed potatoes.
Oh, man.
He doesn't care about you anymore. Burst the seams on that dress. You've been torturing yourself, honey. Have some fried zucchini already.
Oh, boy.
All right. Who am I? Fucking Sebastian Maniscalco? I don't even know what that means. Can you hear the hand gestures I'm making over here?
Oh, my God.
Arlington Heights own.
Oh, man.
Where the Guitar right, Center buddy. Was it go to? Anyway, I'm good. You can hang up. I'm going to keep going for another hour and a half. I'm full of bullshit today, Dave.
All right, buddy. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right.
The Boogie Monster.